Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they had heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he settled there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I always find it just a little bit surprising to read verses 9 and 10 as I go through chapter 18 of Acts. Have you ever been afraid? Does life sometimes become overwhelming? How do you cope? Is drinking a cup of coffee enough? Perhaps you take some time off? Go through some weekend activities? Maybe a vacation? Talking with a friend, does that help? Hopefully, you go to God in prayer over it. You might even say, well, all of the above. I do think it's comforting to know that even the Apostle Paul needed encouragement from God. Let's read those verses again, verses 9 and 10 of Acts 18. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. Arise, arise, deliver me, O my God. Arise, arise, deliver me, O my God. Encouraging, isn't it? To be strong in the Lord. Living in fear is not conducive to success. Corinth is an important city. It's only about 50 miles from Athens. And it's situated in such a place that it's almost on a strip of land between two seaports. Let me read you some things about Corinth. The population at the time of the Apostle Paul was around 650,000 people. 250,000 of them were free citizens. 400,000 were slaves. It was a major city of commerce. It had a causeway by travelers by land and traders, the two seaports. It became a city that was very wealthy, but also very materialistic. It was the center of the culture of the area. Not a university town like Athens, but there was still great interest in Greek philosophy and wisdom. Like Athens, the city was permeated with religion, with at least 12 temples located there. The most famous of these temples was dedicated to Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and featured 1,000 sacred prostitutes. Another temple dedicated to Apollo employed young men whose job was to fulfill the sexual desires of male and female worshipers. Largely due to this fact, the city was notorious for its immorality. So brazen was the unbridled licentiousness that a new Greek verb was eventually coined, to Corinthianize, meaning to practice sexual immorality. When Plato referred to a prostitute, he used the expression Corinthian girl. You can see that influence upon the church, can't you? And I want to encourage you to read Paul's letters to the Corinthians, specifically 1 Corinthians, as we stay in the book of Acts chapter 18 for next week's lesson as well. You can see the struggles that the church coming out of ungodliness had as they tried to live as Christ would have them to live. Now, I don't know just what it was that Paul felt threatened by. I lean more toward his own people because of what he has experienced before. And we're going to see in a couple of weeks as we conclude Acts chapter 18 that the threat was directly from his own people, the Jews who rejected Christ. But God wants Paul to understand that he needs not be afraid to continue to speak. Do not be silent. You think about this location of Corinth, and it's the ideal place for the gospel to spread with the ships and the traders, those who are coming through the city. No better way to broadcast God's word, to plant the seed in those who would be going into all the world. And we see in this reading that Paul not only heeds to God's advice, he continues to preach. He stays in Corinth for 18 months. There's a couple there in Corinth that I want to deal with specifically this afternoon in the fellowship hall in this afternoon's lesson, Aquila and Priscilla, who are Jews. And I think they have much to do with Paul being encouraged while he's in Corinth, because they become fellow evangelists and missionaries. Is it possible for a missionary to experience harm even today? If you read your sheet that we passed out, your little pamphlet on the work in Ecuador, on page 5, if you haven't read that, we had several of you that were kind enough to leave your pamphlets on the pew from last Sunday, and I've put those in the foyer. But on page 5, on the right side toward the bottom, Kent Markham, who is a brother-in-law, married to my sister Charla, writes these words about some of the health issues and trials that the men who are missionaries on the Kayapas River have to face. And the Kayapas is in Ecuador on the northern part. You get there by going to Bourbon. The armpit of Ecuador is what that little city is called. And you ride by power canoe. We happen to have a young man by the name of Gabriel who was our pilot as we went up the journey of the Kayapas. And Gabriel himself has since become a Christian. But Kent writes this about some of their trials that they face. We have men and workers with grub worms in their backs, insects in their ears, objects in their eyes, dysentery, COVID, dengue, flus, intestinal worms, snake bites, infected insect bites. They have been robbed, wrecked, threatened, and overturned. You name it, they have experienced it. Now, that just sounds like a job you want to make an application for, doesn't it? In that article, he talks about how that many of these missionaries are family men, and they come in and out of the work there on the Kayapas so that they might continue to have connection with their families. But they spend weeks at a time, basically in what we would consider to be the jungle, ministering to those folks that are there. We had a friend in Mississippi who loved to go to India, and he wouldn't spend more than a couple of 3 weeks there at a time. But James Van Zandt was sleeping outside, and during the night he was bitten by a cobra. He survived, but some of the trials that missionaries face. There's another one. We knew him back in the early 80s, and his name was Daryl Foltz. And Daryl Foltz was a house painter by trade, but he also preached for congregations up in northern Kansas area, Hoxie and Colby, without pay. He would minister to them. And during the off-season of his house painting, he had gotten involved in World Bible School correspondence courses. And specifically, he began to grade the responses of students from Nigeria. And he decided after a period of time that they needed more encouragement in a personal way. And so Daryl began to travel to Nigeria for a few weeks at a time. And he furnished those who were converted and wanted to continue the evangelistic outreach to others. He furnished them with bicycles, sometimes motorbikes, but he would try and support them. Some of those men who were converted are still in the ministry. But in 1994, in January of 1994, Daryl was over in Nigeria, and filling up his motorbike at a gas station, he was robbed and killed. His wife had quite a time getting his body back to the United States. Missionaries still suffer today, don't they? We got to meet Daryl several times because we were living at the time in the late 79 area into the early 80s. And Daryl would come to McCook, Nebraska, and present his work there in Nigeria and try to gain some support. And he would bring coins from Nigeria and give to the children. It was very sad to learn some 10 years later after that that he had died in Nigeria. Here Paul is experiencing some sort of threat. And God reassures him, I'll take care of you. Go on speaking. Go on proclaiming the word. Be strong and courageous. Turn with me to hymn number 433. 433. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid, He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. The Lord goes before you through the trouble and strife, and He will protect you all the days of your life. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid, He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. We've talked about those missionaries who faced trials even in modern times. Were there other men of God that needed reassurance? Do you remember when Jeremiah was called by God, and Jeremiah there in chapter 1 used his youth as an excuse, or at least he thought he could. And he said, oh, Lord God, I am but a youth. And what was it that God said to Jeremiah? Sounds very similar to what he has said to the Apostle Paul. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Even earlier than that, by several centuries, in Genesis chapter 46, verses 3 and 4, God had reassured Jacob. As Jacob was faced with the dilemma of moving to Egypt in order to save his family, but leaving the land that his own father had told him, his grandfather too, had told him that this land will be yours, God has promised it. God said these words to Jacob about going to Egypt out of the land of Canaan. He said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. And I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will close your eyes. Not only did God reassure Jacob that he was his God as well, but he also prophesied that Jacob's family would become abundant. They would become a nation in Egypt. And that Jacob himself would not be left there. Of course, that happens after Jacob's death when his body is brought back by Joseph and buried in the land that he is about to depart from. But he would die in the arms, basically, of his son Joseph, his favorite son, the son to whom he had given the coat of many colors. And so, yes, there were those in the Old Testament from time to time who needed encouragement by God. And so, too, we may find ourselves being a bit overwhelmed by what life sends our way, especially in walking with God. I'm curious as to why God chose this time to encourage Paul, because we know what Paul has already experienced in his first missionary journey. He was stoned and left for dead at Lystra. During this journey, as he began it, after going through the area of Galatia, he got to Philippi and he was beaten and thrown in prison. He's been chased out of towns more than once. Why now? I'm just curious as to why, what it was. But sometimes that happens to us, doesn't it? Things that didn't bother us before do later on. And so perhaps it just all weighed upon him. But Paul will be thrust back into the fire. You know, we've mentioned several things that Paul endured, but listen to what he tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I'm more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardships through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Paul says, you want to know? You want to see the evidences for me as a servant of Christ? Well, let me tell you. And he says, but this is rather foolish for me to have to do this. But here's the evidences that I am willing to walk with God and not be discouraged. Be not dismayed is the title of my lesson, and I think we ought to sing that song. Let's turn to hymn number 512. 512. No, so me. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of
toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
What a trust we can have in our Father. I've written on the marquee, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Let me read the verse again here from Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. God follows through on that promise. Paul stays for 18 months in Corinth, and we have no record of him being physically accosted or harmed. At the very end of his stay, as we'll look in a couple of weeks, we do have an incident that happens where Paul might have ended up getting the raw end of a deal, physically beaten or imprisoned, but it doesn't happen. At this moment in time, it was best for Paul to be spared from any kind of physical pain or suffering. I'm curious about the last part of that promise. I have many people in this city. Who are the people in Corinth? We've already looked at how degraded Corinth is with regards to its sexual immorality. But God says, I have many people in this city. We can take consolation in what John writes in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Ultimately, it comes down to the power of God over Satan. And we've got the strength of divinity on our side. God is greater. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. It's a comforting thing to walk with God. Not that we can't face even death for the sake of His ministry. Even in modern times, we have seen those who walk with God suffer death. But we shouldn't be discouraged, should we? Because we've gained the victory, the eternal victory, in faithfully living for God until death. Let's sing one last song. Turn with me to 623. 623. God be with you.
Know me. God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel's guide uphold you. With His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet.
God understands the work that needs to be done. And he has chosen to do that work through earthen vessels. Old men, young men. Jeremiah and Joseph. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke. And today he still uses men to accomplish his will. Brothers and sisters in Christ, like Aquila and Priscilla, are modeled in couples today who faithfully raise their children in the Lord and set an example of Christ in all that they do and reach out to those that are around them. I want to encourage you to stay this afternoon and hear the lesson about Aquila and Priscilla. But we've mentioned names of those who in my lifetime have suffered for the sake of Christ. James Van Zandt, Kent Markham and my sister Sharla and their struggles in the work at Ecuador, my nephew Josh and his wife Julie as they continue the work down there in the School of Biblical Studies at Quito, even those who have given their lives, like Daryl Foltz in Nigeria. God be with you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. Till we meet again.